Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio Police Chief Lance Ketterling. Welcome.
Good morning, Mike. Thank you.
We were just commenting about how nice it is outside this morning as we record this.
Glorious Palmer morning.
Yes, indeed. It's dark. The wind was in my face as I walked north, and that happens to be the direction from which it's coming. So it's just, yes, chilly. Chilly, that's true. I thought today, we've had a number of incidents and discussions about the police force, the Anchorage Police Force, and some of the things that are happening there. We would take a look at, in part, the difference between policing in, if you will, Anchorage, the big city, and Palmer. And I'm particularly interested. I reflected upon this and realized that much of my impression of the police department in Palmer, even as I walk down the streets, is I see the vehicles going by. Now, I have occasion to meet the driver, the officer in there.
Sure.
But I'm wondering whether that is something that you have been working on, because the relationship between the population of Palmer people here and the police is a personal one. And how do we get beyond seeing police as in the vehicle behind the windshield?
Well, it's a great question, and it's an important topic that's comes up quite a bit. It's not a new issue in reality. Community-oriented policing is in itself, several decades old, and it's something that's been practiced around here, especially in smaller, more rural departments like Alaska has a great many of for a long time, simply because the differences, like you mentioned, between a larger metropolitan area in Alaska, that would be Anchorage, but in other places it could be Chicago or Los Angeles or one of your major cities. And the smaller rural departments are myriad. There's a lot of differences between police work in a small town and there is in a large one. So the cars are an interesting thing. The cars are fundamentally, for all intents and purposes, a mobile office that the officers have to drive around in. They have a lot of their gear in it. They have a lot of their forms in it. And then, of course, it's reliable transportation for them to get to where they're needed. But the trick, and I think this is really important, is to get them out of the cars as much as they can, and that we don't do business from the cars. We don't do business over the phone. That when somebody calls the police department, our goal is to make sure that they get a person in person and not just a phone call return or a link to a website where they can log in and report a problem or something along those lines. So the cars are a visible symbol of the police department. And in that regard, we need, nice, reliable, clean cars. But getting the officers out of the cars and actually talking to people is where the rubber really meets the road, because you just can't work from inside the car. So there are a lot of things in it that they need. They have to have it to get from place A to place B. But the real work that they do is done outside of the vehicles with the individuals that need their help. And there's just no two ways about that. So getting them out, doing things like foot patrol, introducing themselves to people at Friday Flings or some of these various events that we've got. They do a lot of walkthroughs on those. Of course, the business protection plan we've talked about in the past and meeting all the local business owners. There's a variety of stuff they can do. Tours for kids at the police department, classes for kids. We've done several recently, forensics classes at the high school or, drug poster contests at Sherrod Elementary, of lots of different things like that that get the officers out in the community where they can actually be human and not just a uniform and a badge and a car.
Right, right. I know that in Anchorage there's been suggestion number one that in the city there has been an increase in funding proposed in the next budget, additional officers being hired. But what struck me was an indication that there would be a return to some foot patrols in downtown Anchorage, which
sure
has not apparently been the case recently.
Well, and, Anchorage has their own unique challenges that they need to work with. I do think that it sounds like they're trying to grow their force, which is good for them. You're not going to find really a department anywhere that says, no, we have too many people. We'd like to get rid of some. It's almost always the opposite. For Palmer, and actually for any police organization, foot patrol is one of those subsidiary things that are great to do. And when you have the resources that allow it, especially if you can allow it to pick the area in particular that you want it to, that you want to foot patrol, then you're in great shape. And there's a couple of different reasons one might choose to do that. One is just simple PR. You want to get out and meet people and, you know, build some bridges and interact with the community better. The other is, you know, if you have a particular problem area, often as not, officers on foot patrol, whether in a uniformed or undercover capacity, usually uniformed, can be a good crime deterrent, but we have to recognize that they're localized for all intents and purposes. That officer's not going to be responding across town for another call. So we have to make sure that we have the resources to continue to protect the city as a whole, and then maybe add some focused enforcement to an area that needs a little extra attention.
Now, one of the things that's happened in Anchorage is the emphasis upon developing, and this is an outcome of some work that's been done in other communities, what might be termed smart communities, having information that is available in a, if you will, a location-based method. I'm thinking, as you were talking, the city of Palmer, I'm guessing, has different parts of it that arguably require more police attention than others.
And that's true. And one of the things, there's a real big push right now towards being data-driven in how you use your resources. In other words, let's work smarter with what we've got in order to effectively deal with the issues that we have. And a lot of that is figuring out where these problems occur. The police department, Palmer Police Department, uses something called DDACS, which is the data-driven approach to traffic and crime situations. And you look at where your accidents occur, you look at where your major crimes tend to occur. And in Palmer there, it's interesting because traffic is right where you would expect it to be. The major roads, the major intersections that move the most vehicles, that have the biggest amount of pavement, are going to have the most traffic accidents. It's been that way for years. Whereas there are other locations around the state, and certainly in the lower 48, where you know, you have engineering issues, or you have education issues, or you have enforcement issues. And so if you can identify one of those, and we call those the three E's of traffic enforcement, engineering, education, and enforcement, where one of those is lacking, they can provide extra resources to that. And they have to do that by collecting data, crash data, that sort of thing. Criminal activity, again, in major areas, you start to see it around your industrial areas. You start to see it around sometimes low-income housing issues where you have a lot of drug activity. Crime tends to increase, certainly with thefts and burglaries and all these subsidiary crimes that are related to the drug trade. In Palmer, it tends to be more individual rather than location-based. In other words, we can have a couple of new people move into town that are bad actors from someplace else, and they can really skew the data for a particular area. And so we have to look and say, okay, what exactly is the issue? Do we have a problem where we've got low visibility and some derelict buildings that are now being vandalized heavily, or is this an issue where we've had two new people move into town and they are causing these little bubbles of crime that kind of follow them wherever they go? And usually it's the latter for us. Crime in Palmer, because it is small, tends to be individual or person-centered rather than location-centric.
Okay.
So there are a few exceptions to that. Again, anytime you have a derelict building or a derelict car, it's a magnet for certain types of crimes. But a lot of the time, it's when an individual or couple individuals move in and decide to start engaging criminal activity.
And when we were talking a bit earlier about personalizing the interaction between people and police department, I, as an extension out of that, comes the question in my mind, you know, the police department and personnel have certain skills, and they also are often on the scene when something is not necessarily a criminal activity, but there could, you know, we know about accidents and even a what I might term a lighter form, not an accident, but someone comes along, their vehicle stops, they're beside the road, it's 20 below zero, patrol car comes by, notices that. What kind of thing could we expect the police to be able to do to assist that motorist who's in trouble?
Well, Palmer's goal, and it has been this way for a long time, it has been to basically be a full service department. For example, let's look at the vehicle that's stuck on the side of the road. Part of that, we might come across that in a couple different ways. One is random patrol. The officers are out there. They might simply drive by it. And that's one method for determining staffing levels, is how long it would take a stranded motorist on average to see a police car driving by it.
Okay.
That's one of many different ways one might determine staffing. And so the officer is going to stop. They're going to ask what's going on and if they can help. And it might involve giving someone a ride to a gas station and picking up a gas can so they can get some fuel in their vehicle. It might involve calling them a tow truck and waiting with them until the wrecker arrives. It could be giving them a ride to someone's house if it's local. And we have the time available to do that because there are no competing high priority calls.
Okay.
So we also respond to medical calls in the city of Palmer. So if somebody calls for an ambulance and we have an officer available, they're going to first respond to that call and try to start rendering medical aid. And it doesn't have to be the ubiquitous my house was broken into call in order to get an officer to come and help. Their goal is to be an assistant and a servant to the people here in town, no matter what the issue might be.
Okay. We recently went through an election time, and I noted that in some places around the country, there were individuals who were observing the election polling site, and they happened to be openly carrying a weapon, a gun, for example.
Mm-hmm.
What? And I'm continually curious. I know that in Alaska, it's possible to carry a gun. There are polling places with guns. Any issue associated with that here in the state of Alaska?
None that I'm aware of, no.
Okay. So someone can come in and that's fine.
Yep.
It's not a problem. I know that there was some concern expressed that there was a intention to somehow intimidate people if in association with the carrying of a gun, you also had maybe a belligerent attitude or something of that sort.
Well, you know, the simple carrying of a firearm is a legal act here in Alaska.
Okay.
Now, what you do with it may or may not be legal, depending on how you choose to, act. But those are going to be treated on an individual basis. But the simple carrying of a firearm is allowed with, you know, certain restrictions that are pretty clearly spelled out in the law. You know,
right.
Private property is one of them if the owner doesn't want you carrying it, that sort
sure.
of thing. But yeah, voter intimidation, there were a lot of stories about that around the country. I did not hear of any that reached me here in Palmer or of any in the local area that were dealt with. So, of course, if that were happening, it'd be a very serious thing. This is kind of the cornerstone of what we are as a country, is people have the right to go vote and to vote freely. But thankfully, I didn't hear of any issues of it coming on down. If somebody else did, please feel free to give us a call.
Okay. Well, turning to another topic, which has continued to be discussed, particularly here in the borough, last night's borough assembly meeting had sort of a kickoff beginning discussion that will continue over the next few months about all the rules and guidelines for marijuana retail operations and growing, et cetera, in the unorganized borough.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that in Anchorage, we've had beginnings of retail sales, et cetera. We know that Palmer has said no to any of that. I always want to come back and say, so what happens to someone who goes to Anchorage, buys marijuana, and comes to Palmer?
If they're legally allowed to possess it, then they're legally allowed to possess it. There was nothing that would stop them from going to a legal marijuana establishment and
okay.
purchasing cannabis and bringing it back here. So what they do with it would then be determined by, you know, their choices and what's allowed under state statute. So right now, Palmer doesn't have retail sales
mm-hmm.
and they don't have commercial growth. So, you know, if they would want to purchase cannabis someplace else and bring it here, provided it's the appropriate amounts and they do the right things with it, it's a completely legal thing.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify, because I know people sometimes are a bit confused when there's a prohibition and don't get the rest of the story. It's prohibition of retail and.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. It's the individual use is something that was pretty much guaranteed across the board or allowed across the board guaranteed. We guarantee you, everyone is going to personally use marijuana. No, sorry. That didn't come out right. It was allowed in when Prop 2 passed in 2014. And so that's a statewide law that people are allowed to use if they're over 21.
Okay. And of course, there's still that possibility, if an individual lives in Palmer, of their individual growing of marijuana.
That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's still.
Small personal use grows are one of those things that the new law in Title 17 allows.
Yeah. Okay. So speaking of laws and numbers, any noticeable impact now that the legislation called, let's see, Title 91, I think that the legislation that was passed that made some changes in the criminal justice system, mm-hmm. anything that you notice at the present time now that that is in effect?
Well, yes, but it's a relatively new Senate bill that just recently passed. I think it was July, if right. I remember correct, when it passed. And so, it was a pretty broad, encompassing bill, and it's a little early to say exactly how that's going to work out. There has been some anecdotal evidence and increases in theft cases simply because it's too early to equate correlation to causation. That's one okay. thing you always want to be extremely careful of.
Sure.
Because, you know, we see a rise, and again, I can't tell you the percentage rise in minor thefts. Well, Senate Bill 91 passed. So what we want to be very cautious of is saying that because Senate Bill 91 passed, that this is the cause for these increase in minor thefts. We cannot say that yet. We can say that we've seen it anecdotally, but it certainly cannot be tied to it yet. It's just, it's relatively early to say. It's only 5 months old.
Right.
So. Okay.
Okay, good. I just wanted to clarify and to follow along as we, because I know it's going to be a discussion topic in this next legislature, because there were a number of people that were dissatisfied with all of the details of that particular legislation. And
well, it's a long bill. It's a very long bill, and it changes the landscape of criminal justice across the state. There's no two ways about it. The effects of that are what we don't quite know just yet, but I suspect that there's going to be a great deal of discussion about Senate Bill 91 coming up at various different levels of government over the next several months and years as they try to you know, tweak these things. And hopefully people will realize that, you know, if we try something and it's not working, we need to be allowed to say that it didn't work and then try something else. And if we try something and it is successful, then we need to reinforce that success, in my opinion. So, but to keep an open mind about any time you change laws to the degree that Senate Bill 91 changed things, I think it's a great idea to maintain an open mind about it and see what works, what doesn't. And there might be various aspects of it that are doing great mm-hmm. and perhaps some that are not doing quite so well and need to be tweaked and changed. And provided that there's allowance for that, I think we'll be in fine shape.
Okay. Well, in the past, we have talked about a reserve officer program that we have here in Palmer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And these are people that tend to be new, and they're trained and assist, and they're at the new end of the spectrum. I came across a reference recently to the other part of that. Someone who's been, for example, a trained sworn officer, detective, whatever, mm-hmm. And retires. Are you aware of ways in which those individuals can continue to participate, say, as a reserve officer beyond the end of their formal career?
Absolutely. And there's a couple different ways they can do it. There's a couple different ways that they have done exactly that in Palmer. One is they can certainly join the reserve program if they'd care to. And two, provided they, you know, are still capable of meeting the standards for police officers, they can apply to be an on-call police officer, which is actually a paid position that comes in and works when, if we have an officer that's perhaps hurt or on family medical leave or in a long-term training class or something along those lines. Those officers are great for filling in. And it's a beneficial relationship in a variety of ways. We've had three. We have one now.
Okay.
And, you know, when you come from another organization, you bring a different viewpoint and a different approach into the place you're coming in. And we always like to get those because what we want to be very cautious of in Palmer is we don't get locked into one way of doing things. And then this is the way we've always done it. So this is the way it's always going to be. No, that's not going to work. So if we get fresh ideas and new outlooks and ways of doing things, that's good. And a lot of the times these on-call officers, sometimes they're very experienced. They bring a lot to the table and they like coming and working in a place like Palmer because they're the three we've had have been from Anchorage. And so Palmer is a little more laid back, a little more relaxed. They actually get to get out and meet the people that they're serving, which mm-hmm. they appreciate a great deal, rather than in Anchorage, where it's can sometimes be just call to call to call to call. Right. So, it's been a very fruitful relationship we've had with our on-calls. And one was an on-call and now decided to be a reserve officer because he didn't want to be quite as beholden to our scheduling. And that's great. Another we have is an on-call right now. And then the third one passed away. So it's been a wonderful type of thing, and it worked very well for us.
Yeah, I'm suspecting that listeners are probably not aware that that happened, but thank you for telling us about it.
Sure.
I also know that you have some things coming up. I know before we started the show, you talked about something in January, an event that...
And this will be coming out more when it's a little bit closer to the time for it actually to happen. But on the 12th of January at the Palmer Depot, we're going to be hosting a Neighborhood Watch program, and the goal of that is to get a few more active and working neighborhood watch groups here in town. It can be an effective program on a variety of different levels, and we think they're a great thing. So we'll be sending out flyers and doing some radio spots to try to get people to make sure they're aware of the meeting that's coming up. But it'll be at the depot probably at 7:00, and everybody's certainly welcome to attend, whether they live in the city or not.
Okay, in that same vein, we're coming up to a holiday period, both Thanksgiving and in between time leading to Christmas and so on. Any suggestions for people? I know it's a very busy time, all kinds of activities out there. Any suggestions for people listening about what to do to ensure they get through the time safely from a police standpoint?
Well, actually, there's quite a few. And it can start from anything as simple as we're going to see an increase in mail thefts. It happens every year. Christmas cards are going out, checks are going out, money's going out. So we'll see an increase in that. Of course, the typical, if you're going to drink, drink responsibly. There's a lot of parties coming up and that sort of thing. And so, please, if you're going to be out on the roads, be out on the roads sober if you're driving. And then, of course, this is a time where we occasionally see increases in suicides or depression or different types of emotional crises that come up. If you're in that situation, and don't be ashamed to admit if you might be, for crying out loud, give somebody a call, even if it's us, so we can come and try to help and, just make it onto a little bit better day so things don't seem quite so dark. We're happy to do that. There's a lot of things that come up around the holidays, and some of them are wonderful and some of them are a little bit more challenging. But, if you can't remember anything else, remember you can always call 911 and somebody will come and try to help and put you in touch with the people that can do some good for you.
Okay. Mike Malewski here. I've been talking with Palmer Chief of Police Lance Ketterling. Thank you for coming in today.
It was a good session. Happy to be here. Yeah, thanks, Mike.